Thank you for listening to this message from the pulpit of Coon Rapids Baptist Church in the suburbs of Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Our text this morning will be 1 John, 1 John chapter 1, if you want to open your Bibles back up to that passage of Scripture. As I prepare for the weekly messages that I preach, one of the steps that I go through early on, or in the process, I should say, of preparing for the message, is to read the works of commentators, those people who write comments on passages of Scripture. They have read it and they've studied it, and some of them have preached through it, and they make different notes about it. And so I read the different works of them. I have read some of men such as Boyce or Yarbrough or Cruz or Marshall or Hebert, Curalo, Van Gorder, and Epp. And I don't agree with necessarily every little thing, nor would they agree with every little thing and every little person and nuance of who I am. But I learned some things from these people, and no doubt, in all honesty and full disclosure, some of the phrases and statements that I've used in our series through 1 John have come directly from them and from their writings. If you were to read those books, you would see that some of the quotes come directly from them. So I want to give them credit for those places where I have copied from them. My message this morning, which will begin in just a few moments, I also want to tell you this morning, in one sense, in its entirety, I am copying from somebody else. It's not original with me. My message this morning was written over 1,900 years ago by an aged and godly man who had walked, he had actually walked and talked with Jesus. He'd been a fisherman, and before he came to Christ, worked in that train of life, but once he did so, he left his nets and became a full-fledged disciple of Christ. On the one hand, the man was a very fiery person. He had the nickname of a son of thunder. On the other hand, he was a man who greatly knew God's love for him, and so this was a very fiery love that he had for Christ and that he believed in. And as he was nearing the end of his life there, he came across a certain problem in which some people had been involved in some churches that he had been ministering to, and these people got up and left these churches and went out and started their own thing, and they wanted to claim that they were still connected to God. They wanted to claim that they had the path to God. And yet they were maybe taunting these other believers and saying, no, no, you don't know the way to God. You got to come through our path instead. And so here he was rather fired up about this, and he was concerned about it. These people really had some wrong views about many different areas. They thought they had a superior knowledge. They thought that they could sin with their body and it wasn't a big deal. They had they didn't believe, rather, in Jesus Christ like we do. And they had a total lack of love for all these true brethren here. And so this fiery love that this man had just erupted here in a passionate, what I would call a written sermon unto these people that were left in the services, or left in the churches here. A passionate, fiery sermon about what it is to have the authentic Christian life. Who really has a connection with God? And so he wrote out this sermon, and my goal this morning is really just to plagiarize his sermon, just to simply re-preach the sermon that he preached nearly 2,000 years ago. So to best follow along with the message this morning, as I am just going to try to re-preach 1 John, somewhat similar to John's preaching it, I want to encourage you to just have your Bible open. And if you can do so, keep one eye up on me and one eye on your Bible. If you can do that, let me know. Or maybe just look at your text and listen to as I speak. And I'm going to try to use a couple key words here and there to show you what verse I'm in. I'm not going to read the verses. We already read the text of Scripture this morning. But I hope that you'll be able to follow along because of some of the key words that are brought out here. And as I've been meditating on how best to review 1 John, thinking about the fact that it is a written sermon here, I thought, well, let's just let John preach his sermon. And so I'm going to try to do that this morning, though I'm going to add just a little bit of explanation to make sure that you connect the flow of thought as John did. We're only going to get halfway through John's sermon. As much as I wanted to get through all of it here today, we're only going to get through half of it. And what I want you to see this morning, and what John wants you to see in the first half, is that you need to believe on Christ and quit sinning. Let's pray. Father, I do thank you for John's sermon here, his message. We do pray that you would now help me as I would seek to deliver it, that I'd be faithful to what your Holy Spirit inspired him to write. Lord, that You would help it to flow well, that folks would be able to follow along and grasp it, that it not be boring, but Lord, it'd be something that they would get the message of what John is saying, and that it would change our lives. Lord, that You'd put within us a desire to step away from sin, to be faithful and stick with Christ. And so, Lord, we pray Your blessing upon it in Jesus' name. Amen. Today I want to tell you about something that has been around since the beginning of time. Back in the beginning with God, before even the beginning of time and space began, and it was God. But many times when you think about God, people often think of someone who is invisible, someone they cannot see. They wonder if He really exists. But let me just tell you that this person who was in the beginning with God, this person is God, and this person was seen by individuals. Many witnesses saw Him. They saw Him with their own eyes. They heard Him speak. And their testimony is written down for us to read. They came from various walks of life here, and actually the sermon that I'm preaching to you comes from a man who saw Him and heard Him himself. He intersected with time and space, and therefore people could see Him. They looked at Him, and not only did they see Him, but they examined Him, and they really checked Him out here. In fact, they handled Him, they touched Him, they felt Him. He is human, He is real. Though He is God, He took upon flesh. He is real God, real humanity. God exists. And when I describe to you who this being is described as the Word of Life. You see, here you have God, and God is trying to send a word. He's trying to send a message to humanity through this one, through this individual being. And the message that God has for you and for me through this person is the message of life here. That's God's message. And by the way, that life is possible only through the one who is this message. Only through the one who John saw and felt and touched. Do you have His life? Do you have it there? This life-giving word from God has been around from the beginning of time and came and was manifest for everyone to see it in all of its true character. It was publicly shown. It was publicly made manifest. You see, He was with the Father, and yet He's distinct from the Father. He's His own person of the Trinity here. And He was revealed to mankind. And the reason for all of these witnesses, these apostles were sent out to declare the word to the world was this. So that you could have fellowship with that God. They wanted you to have fellowship with Him, just like they had fellowship with Him as well. And you know, that's such a cool thing, that here, you're not on some sort of subpar level there with the apostles. No, you're right up there on the same plane. They had fellowship with Him, and you can have fellowship. In fact, if you want to have fellowship with God, the only way you can have it is through His Son, Jesus Christ. If you want to share in that life, it comes through His Son, Jesus Christ here. And so that's the reason the sermon has been written, is for you to be able to fellowship and partake of it. And when you do so, you can have great and full joy. That's why the sermon has been written, is for you to experience that joy. And listen, when you have fellowship with God, and when you know that you have fellowship with God, and when you share it with other people here, that is the fullness of joy that God wants you to have. And so the eternal God has sent a message to humanity, a message through His Son, Jesus Christ, who is the very messenger, the Word of Life. And people saw Him, they touched Him, they felt Him, they heard Him speak. He is true, He is real. He was sent for this purpose here, so that you could have that fellowship with God and that incredible joy. That was the purpose of His message. But the content of His message is this, that God is light. That's the message that He came to bring to us, that God is light. And when you first begin to think about it, you wonder what that means. But God is light. Him being the messenger here, He Himself is light. His teachings brought light to people. His character brings light to people. In fact, the very rest of the entirety of this sermon is going to be based upon the very character of God as light. I'm going to challenge you here not to live in sin. I'm going to challenge you to love the brethren. I'm going to challenge you to believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation. And that challenge to you is not based upon man-made rules. It's not a bunch of arbitrary lecture here. It's not based upon popular opinion. It's not based upon political correctness here. The challenge that I'm giving to you is based upon this fact that God is light. It's based upon the very character of God. I'm asking you to live in accordance with the character of God. What does it mean that God is light? When you think about God as light, you think of the sun, and though it's light, it brings life to plants. It brings life to those trees here. And the fact that God is light is very much consistent with the fact that God is life, and He sent the Word of life to you. The fact that God is light speaks of His holiness and purity, that absolute, pure, holy light that is there, so you ought not sin. The fact that God is light shows that God is a person who reveals Himself and illuminates Himself and brings Himself to light, and that's why He sent the Word of life to illuminate Himself and to show that He truly does exist, and you have to believe in that One who revealed Himself, Jesus Christ. The fact that God is light reveals His character, brings His character to light. And what is His character? His character is this: God is love. And you want to show the true, the invisible God, you show Him by loving the brethren. You show Him by loving other people. So the entirety of the sermon that I'm going to bring to you here this morning is all based upon the very character of God, that God is light. What I want to tell you in the entirety of the message here can be encapsulated in believing upon the Lord Jesus Christ, quit sinning, and loving the brethren here. And it's all based upon the very character of God. Maybe you've heard of the early believers of Jesus Christ and how they began to be called Christians, Christ ones. Because in their lives, it was seen that they were following the Christ and they had the very character of Christ. I wonder if your life is following the very character of the God who is life. I want to talk to you here about an area that is very, very important here. The first area that I want to speak to you about is the fact that, you know, there were many people that were in the church and they stepped away and they walked away from what we believe, and they started their own thing, and they want to claim that they're connected to God. They want to claim that they're religious. They want to say that they're in with God, but listen, they're not. Not everybody who claims it really is here, trusting God, having fellowship with Him. And a lot of people want to say that they have fellowship with Him, but the fact of the matter is, instead of following the character of God, they walk in the darkness of sin. They live their life in an ongoing, continuous way of living in sin. And I just want to tell you that if they claim to be connected with God and they walk in the darkness of sin, I want to tell you this, they are lying. It's an absolute lie. And the truth of God, the truth of God's Word, the truth of the Gospel, the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ does not live in them. I don't care what they claim. But listen, if we would walk in the light, we as believers would live our lives in the light of God and not sin, then we have fellowship with God. It shows that we have just shared in that wonderful life with God. And listen, let me tell you, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sins. You know that your sins have been forgiven. And when you do sin, you have the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse you from all of those sins. So don't walk in the darkness. You know, some people claim that they have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness. And then some people in response say, well, listen, I claim that I don't even have sin. I'm not in a state of sin anymore. I don't even have a sin nature in it anymore. It's not that I'm really walking in darkness. It's just that I don't even have the sin nature anymore. Listen, let me just tell you. You know what? When you do that, you are deceiving someone, and the only one that you're deceiving is yourself. Because anybody that's around you knows that's not true. Everybody around you knows that you're still a sinner. They see you. They see your attitudes. They see your life and your character. They know that you mess up from time to time. You may be a great person, but nobody can claim that they don't have a sin nature. And the only one that you're deceiving is yourself. You claim that you don't have a sin nature, but you're lying, and that's a sin. You're lying to yourself. By the way, the truth is not in that person either. The truth of God's Word, the truth about Jesus Christ, the truth of the Gospel, the One who is the truth Himself, is not in that person. You can't deny that you have a sin nature. Instead, when you sin, what you have to do is you have to agree that you have sinned. You have to confess your sins. And if you will confess your sins, listen, God is faithful. He is reliable. He's not going to hang you out over the balance there and say, well, maybe I'll forgive you. Maybe I won't. Maybe I feel like it. Maybe I don't. No, He is reliable. He's faithful. And He is righteous. He is just. He is going to forgive you. The reason He can forgive you is because the price has already been paid for your sin. And so when you confess your sins, He is totally righteous to forgive you for your sins. Listen, the answer is to not come in here and say, well, I don't even have a sin nature anymore. The answer is to come clean and say, listen, I have sinned. I've done those things which are wrong. And He will forgive you. And I wonder this morning if there's any person who is a Christian here today that you've been struggling with some sin here, and you need to go to God and you need to just be honest with God and confess that sin and get it right with Him. Some people claim that they walk with Him, and yet they live in darkness. Other people say, no, listen, I just don't have a sin nature anymore. And then other people just say this, well, I just don't sin. I have never sinned. Listen, you want to claim that you've never sinned? The fact of the matter is, you want to really talk about a problem here? Now you're making God a liar. Because in God's book He said, all have sinned. And so it's not that you're just lying or lying to yourself, but now you're calling God a liar, and you've been claiming that you're not a sinner. Well, that's a pretty great sin to call God a liar. And His Word is not in you. It's not living inside of you. Don't claim to be a Christian and say, I have never sinned here. Because the first step in becoming a Christian is being willing to humble yourself and say, listen, I have sinned. I've done that which is wrong. Jesus Christ is the one who is going to save me from that sin. So listen, just understand, Christian, there is a right way to think about your sin. My dear little children, my dear beloved ones in Christ, I'm writing this message unto you so that you would not sin. So that you would stop sinning. That's the response here. Don't sin. Now listen, some of you know that there's an area in your life that you've been struggling with. You know that there's been an area that you've been hanging on to, you've been coddling, you've been nurturing, you've been allowing it to go, and I'm writing unto you so that you would stop sinning here. That's what God wants you to do in your life. Stop sinning. Cut it out here. That's the goal. That's what's consistent with God being light. But if you do sin, and you know what? We as Christians do at times sin. There are times when we fail. There are times when we mess up. There are times in which we do things that just are not right. If we do sin, then you know what? We have an advocate. An advocate. We have this person who is on our side, a friend, someone who's going to stand up and they're going to speak for us and speak on our behalf. There's someone who would go to the judge. They're not going to deny that we have sinned. No. They're not going to disown the guilt. No. But they're going to offer something to the judge so that the law can be satisfied. And I can rightfully be discharged here. That's my advocate. And listen, we're not supposed to sin. But when we do sin, we have someone that's on our side. And He's a great person to have on our side. He's a great person because, first of all, of His humanity, He is Jesus. Jesus is His human name there. And as human, as a human being, He's been in your shoes. He's been tempted in all the points like as you are, yet without sin. He knows what you're going through. He's a great advocate because of His humanity. He's a great advocate because of His deity. Jesus Christ. Christ reminds us that He is the Son of God. And since He is deity, He can go right into the very presence of God and do business with God for your sins. He has access to God. He's a great advocate because of His humanity, because of His deity, because of His purity. Jesus Christ the righteous, His purity there. He's not going to handle your situation deceitfully. He doesn't use bribes or anything like that. No, He's offering Himself, and He is the righteous sacrifice. He is the perfect sacrifice. In fact, when He offers Himself to God, He is as righteous as God is. So God's going to have to accept His sacrifice. God's going to have to accept what He presented there. He is Jesus Christ, the righteous. And last of all, what makes Him such a great advocate is because of His satisfactory sacrifice. He's the propitiation for our sins. You see, God is a God who expects sin to be paid for. He is a God who does have wrath towards that sin. And Jesus Christ has come in and He has paid for the sin and He has satisfied and assuaged God's wrath here. And not only for your sins, but for the sins of all the world. If they'll simply put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, God's propitiation will take care of them. And so listen, Christian, I'm writing unto you because you're not supposed to sin. That's the way it is. You're not supposed to live in it. It ought to be the exception to the rule for your life. But listen, if you do sin, come clean with God. Confess that thing and let God's forgiveness come in there and cleanse you of that sin. Use your advocate. Take advantage of it. Now, I've processed this from kind of the negative perspective here that you shouldn't sin. I've looked at it from the negative. But let me flip it around and let me give you a couple scenarios to talk to you about it from the positive perspective. Christianity ought to change your life here. It ought to change your life not only in the negative, what not to do, but in the positive, what you should do. And I'm going to give you three examples of that as well. I want to bring out, first of all, that if you really do know God, then you're going to keep His commandments here. Listen, you remember all those people that were in our church that left? You remember them and how they left, and they claimed to know God. Well, listen, if they really know God, then they ought to be keeping His commandments. Christian, let me tell you, if you really know God, then they ought to be keeping His commandments. You ought to be doing what this book has to say. The truth is inside of you here. Don't claim that you know God and then be unwilling to do what God says. You're lying if that's the case. Listen, when a person knows God and when they're obeying God, then this is what has taken place. God's love has been perfected in them. You see, when God loved you, He didn't just love you just to give you your hell insurance. He didn't just love you just to save you from hell. God's love came down and through Jesus Christ upon you so that you would be saved. You would love Him in return. And in loving Him in return, you would then be willing to obey Him. That is the perfection of His love, the completion of His love. That is taking it to the fullest extent here. God so loved you, not just to save you, but to make you willing to obey Him. That's why if you claim to really know God, you will be keeping His commandments. His love will be perfected in you, completing, accomplishing exactly what He wants it to do in your life. And I want to just ask you this morning, are there some commandments that you know you need to be doing, but you haven't been keeping His commandments? If you really know God, you want to keep His commandments. The second scenario I want to tell you about is this, that if you abide in God, you'll walk with God just like Christ did. First step kind of is introductory. The second one builds on it. If you know God, you'll obey His commandments. The second one is this, if you abide in God, you'll obey His commandments like Christ did. You'll obey just like Christ. You'll walk even as He walked. You'll live your life just like the Lord Jesus Christ lived His life. And the third one takes it one step further. So the ultimate commandment is this, of loving the brethren, loving other believers. You're going to keep God's commandments. You're going to keep God's commandments just like Jesus Christ. Well, then you ought to keep the commandment of loving the brethren. Listen, I'm not talking about some new commandment that I made up here. This isn't anything new to you. No, this is an old commandment that's been around from the beginning here. It's an original here. It's something that's well established. And I want to tell you this, it's a true commandment. It's a real commandment as well here. Witnesses saw Jesus Christ live it out. I saw it. The writer of this message saw it. I've seen it in your lives as well. It's true. It's real. It's genuine. I've seen it in other people who claim to be Christians. I've seen how they love the brethren. It's true in their lives. Not only is it well established and original, and it's true, but it's revolutionary. It takes people, it shows how people are different from the kingdom of darkness, and now how they're in the kingdom of light. It shows that there's a difference. Things have transformed, and things are passing from the old into the new here, there. It's a wonderful new era that is coming through in connection with this command to love the brethren. And that's why I can stand here and say that if you do not love the brethren, then you are in that darkness. God is light. But if you don't love the brethren, then you are in that darkness. And that's a horrible thing. There are all sorts of people in this world who want to claim that they're in the light. There are all sorts of people in this world who want to claim that they have a connection to God. But by the fact that they do not love the brethren, this chief sin there of not loving the brethren, they show that they really do not love God. They show that they really are not connected to God. They really don't have the light of God here. In fact, it's not only that they are in darkness, but they've always been in the darkness. They've never come out of it. And I want to tell you that it's a terrible thing to be in the darkness. They've always been there. But listen, it gets even worse that if you don't love the brethren, if you really don't love the brethren, you don't know God, then you're causing people to stumble. See, a person who loves other people, they don't want anybody to stumble. They don't want their life to cause someone to trip up there. A person who's a Christian, they're going to make sure that certain things aren't in their lives because they don't want to be the one to cause that Christian to stumble and fall and to go off into sin. That's love, keeping from causing other people to stumble, keeping myself from stumbling. But listen, when you don't love the brethren here, you cause all sorts of stumbling to take place. I mean, you cause stumbling in your own life. You don't know God as your Savior, and you stumble and you trip over all these different things in your life, and you trip over the truth of God's Word. You cause other people to stumble. You're going off into sin, you're going off into the things of this world, and you're going to hell, and you're taking everybody else with you here. And you're leading them in that same path here. You're causing stumbling. It's a horrible thing because you're in the darkness. When you're in the darkness, you trip over things. I don't know if that's happened in your house, but it happens in mine. When it's in the dark, and you don't see something, and you trip over something. But it gets even worse when you trip over something, and it gets even worse when you're in the darkness. Those people that hate the brethren and yet claim to be Christians, they're walking in darkness. And the fact of the matter is they don't even know where they're going. I mean, yes, they're tripping. Yes, they're always existing in darkness, but they don't have a clue where they're going. I mean, they're worse than us guys that don't even want to look at the roadmap here. They're in absolute darkness here, totally disoriented. They have no clue if they should go this way or this way or this way. And unfortunately, they're headed to hell. They don't know Christ as their Savior here. And the Bible describes that as a place of outer darkness. It's a horrible, devastating, terrible thing that they are in this darkness here. So listen, when you're a Christian, it matters very much that you follow the very character of the God who is light, and that light ultimately leads you to the place where you're going to love other people. Those who love other people are in the light. They are living in that light. Now, I've been talking here about the fact that Christians don't sin. I've been talking here about the fact that Christians shouldn't be living in this ongoing sin, but instead they ought to be willing to obey the commandments, living just like Christ, even to the point of loving other people. And maybe as you're sitting there listening, you begin to kind of look at yourself and say, you know what? I don't always love like I should. Does that mean I'm not a Christian? You kind of begin to doubt and kind of begin to wonder if I'm talking about you here. I mean, there's been these other people that have left the church and they want to say that they have the way to God, and they've been taunting you and they've been saying, listen, you don't know the way to God. And so you're kind of sitting here and you're saying, I don't know, maybe I don't know God. Maybe I'm wrong about this thing here. Here I've been talking about the fact that you shouldn't be living in sin, but you should be obeying the commandments. And you're sitting there and you're saying, how in the world am I ever supposed to quit sinning and cut it out in my life and really begin to obey God? Let me talk about that for a moment. Listen, I want to tell you something. I believe that you know Christ as your Savior, the vast majority of you. I believe that you know Christ as your Savior. And listen, some of you, spiritually speaking, you may be like children. Some of you, spiritually speaking, you may be like, you know, fathers, spiritual fathers. Some of you, spiritually speaking, you may be like spiritual young men in the prime of life and vigor and strength and vitality. Whatever stage of your life this is, something is true of you. One thing that is true of you is this, that your sins have been forgiven. You do know the Father. You do know Him in that wonderful way. One of the other things that's true of you, no matter which one of those that you are in, you have the victory. The victory over the wicked one here. Listen, just in case you didn't get that, let me say this again. Whether you are the young person, whether you're the spiritual father, whether you're the spiritual young man, you know God. You know the Father. You have His Word living inside of you, the Word of the Gospel, the Word of Scripture here, the Word of the Lord Jesus Christ is living inside of you, and therefore, you have right now victory over the wicked one. You don't have to serve the wicked one anymore. You don't have to live in that sin. You can obey His commandments. You are Christians. You are believers here. I want to encourage you with that good news here. Now, I've been talking about sin, and I've been saying, listen, you ought not live in this sin. And I've been saying that, listen, a lot of this is dealing with those people who want to claim that they're Christians, but they're really not. And so maybe you've been thinking that most of that has been applying to those unbelievers living in sin. But let me tell you this, there's something that applies to you as Christians as well. There's a grave danger here that many Christians have, and that grave danger is this, that they love the world. And I just want to tell you right now, you've got to stop loving the world. It's got to end. It's got to quit. Many times Christians are infatuated with the world and they think that the world is such a great thing. And when I talk about the world, listen, the thing of the world is this. The world is that system. It's a whole system, and it's operated by the devil here himself, the very enemy of God. And this system is against God, and it opposes God and rejects God. This whole system that is against God. And the irony of it is that some of us as believers love that system. We've come to the place where we have a passion for that system. We enjoy that system. And listen, I want to tell you that's a dangerous thing. I want to tell you, you've got to stop that. There's a couple different reasons why I want to tell you it's a terrible thing for a Christian to love that system. First of all, it's because of the character of that system is evil. All that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. The lust of the flesh is our world telling you just live naturally. You know, if you want to do it, if your body feels like it, if you want to go after those passions and go after those lusts, then you can do that. And listen, Christian, you can't do that. You trusted Christ as your Savior, that flesh has been cut off from you. You're not supposed to serve that anymore. You can't live naturally. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, that's living covetously. For whatever your eyes go for. You know what I'm talking about. You know what it is to look at something and say, I've got to have it. You know what it is to use your eyes as an avenue to sin, to lust after certain things. Living covetously. Listen, Christian, you cannot love that. And living not only naturally and living covetously, but then living proudly. The pride of life. That's, you know, bragging rights in life.
and you've got to have a certain status in life, and you've got to have a certain home, and you've got to have a certain automobile, and you've got to have all these things just so you can have bragging rights in this life. Listen, let me just tell you, that's keeping a lot of people from serving the Lord with their life. They're loving the world. You can't love the world because of its character is evil. You can't love the world because the love of the Father is exclusive. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. How many people in this world have a struggle with loving God with all of their heart, mind, and soul? And the reason is because they love the world too much. Man, we've got all the time in the world for athletics. We've got all the time in the world for having fun and games. We've got all the time in the world for chasing after money. We've got all the time in the world for things of this world. But listen, we don't have a love and a passion for God. And we scratch our heads and we wonder and we say, why is it cold? Why is it damp? Why don't I love God? Because if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You can't love both. You cannot love God and mammon.
Listen, it's a terrible thing for you to love the world also because the time of the world is ending. The world passeth away.
Listen, I know what it's like to have had a great time building some snowmen and building some snow forts and thinking that they were epic and that they were just going to be, you know, awesome and wonderful. And here a couple weeks later, because of this unusual February and warmth, here the snowmen are gone and the hours that we spent are melting and withering away and just crumbling all to pieces. And to notice the disappointment of that. And so many people in this life, they're going after the things of this world and they're building snowmen and they're building snow forts and they are melting and they are crumbling and they are giving their lives to things that don't matter. All that is in the world is passing away, but he that doeth the will of God abides forever. Invest your life in something that matters. Don't love the world. Invest in something that is eternal here.
Now I've tried to give you some assurances that you're a Christian. I'm going to continue with that, but in a slightly different direction. I've talked to you about abiding in Christ, and you know you're in Christ, and abiding and sticking with him, but now I'm going to shift a little bit different to find out who's abiding in Christ. I'm going to tell you who really does and who really doesn't live and abide forever. There are some people that are trying to leave Christ, and I want to talk about that for you for a moment here. I want to talk about who really has a connection to God. And I want to tell you, listen, you're in a fight. This love for the world here, this is a fight.
There's a world system that's going after you here. And I want to just tell you that you're in a fight, and I want to give you three weapons here to protect you from that fight. The first is I want you to recognize the identity of your enemy. Listen, you know about the Antichrist. You guys are prophecy buffs. You understand all the things about the Antichrist. Well, listen, I want to tell you that in today's day and time, in a sense, there are many Antichrists. Antichrist is anybody who would oppose God and who would try to replace God. There's all these different things that have the Antichrist spirit of them, and that's how we know that this is the last time. And I just want you to know that these people who have left and gone out from us, and they claim to have a connection to God, anybody who claims to have a connection to God but doesn't follow Jesus Christ is really Antichrist. That is their spirit. They've rejected Jesus Christ. They've opposed Jesus Christ. They've tried to replace Jesus Christ. They're of the spirit of Antichrist, and you've got to watch out for them. I want you to understand that they're also not Christians. Oh, they went out from us, but they weren't really of us. If they would have been of us, they would have stayed here. They aren't really Christians here. Don't let somebody come in and tell you that so-and-so is a Christian and so-and-so isn't a Christian here. Based on their own definitions. The definition is upon Jesus Christ, what they do with Christ. Recognize the identity of those enemies that we have. These people over there, they're not innocent here. They're your enemy. Watch out. The other defense that you have is to realize the unction or the anointing that you have. Listen, you trusted upon Jesus Christ and God Himself verified you. God Himself verified you by giving you the anointing of His Holy Spirit. He Himself, the Holy One, said, "You're in with me. You're good to go," by giving you of His Holy Spirit.
And listen, let me just tell you that Holy One, that Holy One has a big difference in your life. Makes a huge difference in all that you are here. This Anointing One teaches you everything that you need to know. You know the truth of God. You know what is true. You know what is lie. You know that Jesus Christ is the truth. And you know that no lie is a part of the truth. And you know that people who deny Jesus Christ are liars. They would be lying if they're saying that. They're actually Antichrist. And if someone denies the Son, they're actually denying the Father as well here. They don't have the Father. So just understand, you're in. And stick with that. One of your greatest defenses is to remember, I'm in with God. I don't have to follow that path. God Himself verified it by giving me His Holy Spirit. Recognize the identity of the enemy. Realize the anointing you have. And remain in Christ. That's your duty. Stick with Christ. You've heard this message. I came many years ago to you sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. You heard this message from the very beginning. Now stick with this message. Don't walk away to what all these other false religions are saying that deny Christ. Don't walk away and follow them. Stick with Christ. Remain with Christ. Stick with this message that you have. And not only will you have Christ, but you'll have eternal life as well. It's a wonderful thing. Listen, I know I do this where I go in circles a lot and come back and repeat myself, but I'm doing it to try to make you a point, make a point here and help you get it. So let me just go over those 3 points again, one more time in the text here. If you're going to protect yourself, you're going to have to recognize the identity. And let me just tell you that these guys are seducers. They're liars. They want to come in and claim they've got a connection to God, but they don't. You have to recognize their identity. You have to realize that you have an anointing. That God Himself sent that anointing to you in the person of the Holy Spirit. It teaches you what you need to know, but it's also the truth. That Holy Spirit's anointing upon you is real and genuine. It shows that you are real and genuine. You have the truth. You know what is the truth. And listen, because you have the Holy Spirit inside of you, I've seen the Holy Spirit working inside of you. I have absolute confidence that you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you're going to stick with Jesus Christ. You're going to remain with Him. You're going to stick with Him. So recognize the anointing that you have and remain with Christ. God's working in you. You have the Holy Spirit in you. So remain with Christ. Stick with Christ. Listen, let me just tell you, He's coming back. We've been talking about the Antichrist and how He's coming someday. Well, let me tell you, Jesus Christ is coming back. And listen, if you have stuck with Christ, let me tell you, when He comes back, oh, what a confidence and boldness we'll have. I won't be embarrassed about the matter. You won't be embarrassed about the matter. There'll be a thrill. There'll be a freeness before Christ because we've stuck with Christ. And listen, let me just tell you this. That not only is that important, but listen, if we know that God is righteous, we know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of God. We know that God is righteous, and so those people that are doing what is righteous, they're not sinning. Instead, they're obeying His commandments. We know that they're the ones that are born of God, not just these other people that are out here. You want to talk about righteousness? They're living righteously just like Christ is righteous. You want to talk about what is righteous? I'll tell you what's right. What is right is sticking with Christ. I'm almost done with my message here for this morning, but let me just make a few more connections. I've written this book so that you can have the joy that comes from having fellowship with God and sharing in that life. And that life only comes through His Son, Jesus Christ. Anybody who wants to claim that they have a connection to God without Christ is a liar, is antichrist, is not telling the truth, and they don't have a connection to God because it only comes through the Son. Get in the fight about this matter. It matters. It's a big deal here. Now don't forget that those who are truly Christians are those who do not live in an ongoing sin. I want to come back to this before I'm done here today and talk about this one more time. I've talked to you about those people who are really born of God and born again. And it is an incredible thing when you think about it. It's an amazing thing that God will love us enough to make you and me His sons. I mean, saved from eternity and hell, but now we're His sons as well. That's incredible love. I mean, the world doesn't even recognize us because of it. They don't even know us. But God knows us, and we are His sons. Listen, the day is coming, since we are the children of God, when we are going to be able to see Jesus Christ face to face. And I can't tell you today what all that's like. I can't explain to you all of that, but I know this, that if I'm going to be able to see Jesus Christ face to face in all of His purity and glory and deity and all that splendor, it must mean that at some point in time I'm going to be transfigured, I'm going to be changed, if you will, to be just like Christ. That day is coming. I know that much. I can't explain the rest of what's going to happen in heaven, but I know that. If you know Christ as Savior, you're going to be changed to be just like Christ. Now listen, let me tell you this. If you have that confidence that someday you're going to be made just like Jesus Christ, someday you're going to be changed to be completely like Christ, then that same thing ought to be working inside of you right now, purifying you to become more and more like Him today. Listen, sometimes people look and they say, oh yeah, someday I'll really become like Christ, so I'm going to live however I want to right now.
Don't have any confidence that that is the case.
Listen, if it's not changing your life, don't have any confidence that someday you're going to be completely transformed. The fact that you're going to be transformed in the future should be showing you that you're going to be purifying yourself even as He is pure, becoming just like Christ. We talked about that a couple times, being just like Him. Now listen, it's a big deal here that you live in sin or don't live in sin. It's a big deal that you walk in the Lord Jesus Christ here. It matters. A couple more verses that I want to share with you, and I'll be done here. I want you to understand that you cannot sin for several reasons here. It matters. The first one is because sin is actually rebellion. Whosoever sins transgresses also the law. It's not just a simple stepping over the line, it's rebellion. Sin is also very serious because Christ was manifested to take away our sin. The whole purpose of it was for Him to come and to remove our sin. And you would continue to live in sin, which is absolute rebellion. You would continue to live in sin, which is something that Christ came to remove and to take away here. You can't do that. Don't be deceived about this matter here. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as He is righteous. It's your identity. Which one are you? You can't sin. Let me tell you a little bit more so why you can't sin. Because he that committeth sin is of the devil. There's only two families that are out there. There's either God's family or the devil's family. And if you're going to live in ongoing sin, then it shows you which one you are. And Christ came to destroy the works of the devil. So why would you live in sin in an ongoing sort of way against what Christ was trying to do? You've been born of God, and so God's very seed lives inside of you. His very nature lives inside of you. You don't have to sin anymore. He's freed you from that. In a sense, you cannot sin. So why, as a Christian, do you live in sin in an ongoing way here? Listen, it's really obvious who's a child of God and who is not a child of God. Those people who obey the commandments, those people who love their brethren are children of God. Those people who disobey the commandments, those people who disobey God, who live in sin, who don't love the brethren, they are of the devil. Listen, which one are you of this morning? Which family are you of? There are only two families. There's not all these different religions. There are two, God and the devil. And listen, Christian, if you are of God, you shouldn't be living like you're of the devil. So I'm going to pause my message here this morning, this great truth in our mind, that Jesus Christ is the right way to have this life. And if you have the life and the light of God, it ought to change the way that you live your life.
Visit us at 11164 Hanson Boulevard or online at coonrapidsbaptist.org.